Welcome back to the Born Paul Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kenny G, and today on this special Wednesday episode, we will cover a lot. We got the NFL Sunday and Monday night football games, college football, talk Thursday night football as well, college football on Saturday, MLB playoffs yesterday, the Cat and Julius Randle trade on Friday night, NBA Media Day news, and more, guys. Of course, thank you for listening, and let's get into it. So the reason we're having this episode on Wednesday instead of Monday is I felt like it was best, you know, there was a lot going on Monday and Tuesday that would have made Friday a little more jam-packed than it needed to be. So I felt like, hey, let's talk about NBA Media Week, NBA Media Day on Wednesday. We talk about the MLB playoffs, game one, you know, other news popped up during the week as well. So, you know, I felt like it was just best if we delivered on Wednesdays. And hell, if I feel like this is a good episode structure, I feel like we could do Wednesdays and Fridays, but I feel like that's a little too close. But hey, let's get into it first, man. We're going to talk about NFL Sunday. So this was the first Sunday I actually got to sit home and watch Red Zone all day, and it was pretty nice, man. I really did enjoy that early slate. A lot of good games. I thought Atlanta versus New Orleans was good. Denver versus New York. I enjoyed Tampa versus Philly, even though it was a blowout. Texans and Jacksonville was close. Green Bay, Minnesota was nice. Colts, Steelers. Like, I thought this was one of the best early slates all season yet. Granted, has it been only week four? Yes. But for, I think this will hold to stand strong as one of the best early slates all year. But let's get into it, man. First game, he had the Falcons beating the Saints 26-24. Young Waku delivered a bomb in Atlanta and kicked a 58-yard field goal to give him the win with 2 seconds left. For New Orleans side of things, you know, they had that unfortunate muff punt that ended up in a touchdown, something we rarely see nowadays, man. But offensively, they really haven't been clicking like they were those first 2 weeks. Granted, 40 points, 40, 30 points back-to-back weeks isn't going to be sustainable all year. You're eventually going to come down and have to win some games with only scoring 20 points. But yeah, I think they had a decent game, man. It wasn't bad. That's where the Saints, they played the Chiefs in Arrowhead Monday Night Football. Hey, your boy might be there. I might be there. Who knows, brother? And you got Atlanta that's going to move on to play Tampa Bay tomorrow night. So both teams, you know, I don't know. New Orleans has to bounce back immediately. And with the Inter Chiefs team, they really could shock some things. But for the Falcons, they got a big NFC South matchup again against Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. But yeah, like I said, Falcons won by two. And what was a very sloppy game in MetLife, Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos beat out Aaron Rodgers and the Jets 10-9, man. Aaron Rodgers just could barely get the ball off. Slimy day. Garrett Wilson barely showed up, brother. I really need you, man. I need you. I need you badly, brother. Corliss Sutton got his first touchdown of the year this week, you know, late in the third quarter. Put them up 7-6. The Jets had two opportunities to go down, kick a field goal, and win the game. But on the first one, Aaron Rodgers got sacked on, what was it, fourth down, I think, or third down. Either way, they didn't get it. And then the second time, they got the ball back once again from the Broncos. And Greg Zuerlein, Greg DeLay missed a 50-yard field goal attempt. And the Broncos, back-to-back weeks versus playoff-caliber teams, man. Oh, that's pretty huge, man. Like I said, I thought this team was good. I like their defense, and I believe if Bo Nix could play clean, they can go far. But bad news of the day was Tyler Beatty, M-I-Z. I think he goes by Tyler Bidet now. But fortunately, I think he might have seized up on the sideline. Unfortunately, he had to bring the card out, not the backboard out. Went with the ambulance, but luckily he is okay. But he might be on the IR with the back injury. But prayers out to him. Never want to see a Tiger like that or any NFL player in general in that situation. But yeah, Broncos edge just went out by 1 point. For the Jets side of things, you're never going to be perfect. I mean, what, your two losses this year come to the Niners, and you just lost a bad, sloppy game versus the Broncos. They'll bounce back. But speaking of the Jets, today, per Adam Schefter, you heard news of Davante Adams. The two best options for him, of course. Let's actually rewind it. Ian Rapoport came out that he's informed the team that he wants to trade, though he doesn't want to be the Raiders no more. Now, it's not going to happen immediately, but now Adam Schefter reported this morning the two teams that are in the race are, of course, his two boyfriends, Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, the Saints and Jets. All right, both teams are very interested and have a good chance to swing at it, as they are both not in the division, and for the Saints, they're not in the conference. For the Jets, they are in the AFC, so that might hold a little, but the Chiefs looked to seem like an option, but, you know, the Raiders aren't just going to look our way, I guess, unfortunately. But, yeah, just want to get that out the way. But, yeah, the Jets very well could look to add another top 10 wide receiver to their roster, which is insane to think about. And if they can, I don't think you'll see the Jets score 9 points or ever get close to scoring 9 points again. Next, we got Bucks versus Eagles, man. This was just a bad game from the start. CJ Gardner-Johnson looked terrible again. He's not really good in coverage. I think he's one of the worst covering safeties in the league, man. He's not that good, but he can for sure come down and hit some shit and make a good tackle and talk his shit on Twitter. But coverage-wise, he's not good at that, man. I think the Bucks did dominate offensively. They did dominate the Eagles. They scored 33 points, of course. Baker Mayfield threw the ball 47 times, completed 30 passes with 347 yards and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. While Jalen Hurts on the other side with no Smitty, no A.J. Brown, got sacked 6 times. Once you got down in that hole, they were down 24-0. You weren't going to be able to run the ball fluently with Saquon, so he was out the equation. And it basically was Jalen Hurts and Jahan Dotson who's put up a dud this season. Shout out Howie Roseman, you know. Everybody talks about him, elite GM, I guess, in some people's eyes, but yo, he's looking not that good, man, now that I think about it. But yeah, he might just not be good. But yeah, for the Eagles, once you were down 24-0, the best thing you had to offer offensively was that rushing attack, and you couldn't get it back up. Special teams, though, they did block a kick and return it, so, you know, shout out to them for that one, man. Next up, we got the Jags and Texans, and what was too close of a game for me for the Texans-wise, you know, division rival, so I get it. Dougie P, Trevor Lawrence did their thing for 4 quarters and a half, man. At the end, they couldn't capitalize and win that game. I thought the 4th-and-1 QB draw play was terrible. A terrible call, man. I don't think you should do that at all, man. You let Trevor Lawrence sit back, and if ain't nothing work, he can bail out, try to run for it. But just automatic QB draw was a terrible call, and I think that's why they lost the game. But in other words, man, CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Dare Ogunbowale. Oh my God, I just slaughtered that. But they had all 3 contributed to a game winning drive. Of course, Nico Collins with big catches, CJ Stroud with great passes, and of course, Dare Dare with the touchdown in the game. I'm not going to pronounce that last name, man. Throughout the game, they just attacked Ronald Darby. You watch that. He's just getting cooked, man. Stephon Diggs just and Nico Collins, just, I think, an amazing pass attack. Stephon Diggs, in my opinion, hasn't really dropped off. I think he's still giving out elite form, elite performances. And, yeah, man, Texas win this 1-4. Trevor Lawrence just needs to lock a little more in. And same with Dougie P. There's a post-game interview question that asks about his security of his job. And he looked at the reporter so crazy, like, he's 100% safe. I don't know if nobody in this organization is safe, man. You're 0-4 right now. This is 4 losses, 0 wins in a tough AFC South, man. Where the Colts, I've streamed around 2 wins already. You got the Texans, and even the Titans got a win on Monday Night Football. You got to lock in, man. You're bottom of the division now, bottom of the conference. Dude, with Trevor Lawrence on a big contract, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, guys like that, Brian Thomas Jr., there's a lot of money on the line, and you can't be a bad team. Something's going to have to happen. Granted, can they be one of those teams that turn it around? Yes. But the playoffs, I don't know the stats on 0-4 teams making the playoffs, but I can tell you you could count the teams with one hand. Don't got to use both to count the amount of teams that probably made the playoffs that started 0-4. But yeah, for the Texans, they string in a good win, and I think they are currently 3-1. Next up in another division game, you had the Vikings beating the Packers 31-29. Sam Darnold, could that boy win MVP? Man, I don't know. He's been cooking. He connected with Jordan Addison twice for the touchdown. One of those plays, Justin Jefferson had a beautiful block, you know. Wide receivers that can block, oh, chef's kiss, man. That's somebody you want on your roster, man. I love wide receivers that can block, man. That care about getting that extra block, that push. Love to see that. He also had some clutch catches on the day, too, for Justin Jefferson. For the Vikings, they win. You know, granted, this game was a lot closer than it seems. The Vikings were up multiple scores, and the Packers came close late. Nearly did it, but that doesn't matter, man. Their style of play was a little different when they were trying to get up compared to when they were up. So I'm not going to compare the score, really. The Vikings flat out dominated them, you know. The Vikings are now 4-0 for the first time since 2016. And, man, I mean, wow, I don't know what can stop them, man. They've had impressive wins all year. Beat the 49ers, the Texans, the Packers, man. For the Packers sides of things, Jordan Love did look sloppy, but, I mean, hell, he did pull up in a Brett Favre jersey, so maybe he's just paying homage to the future prison guy. I don't know, man. He might get locked up, you know, stealing people's money and shit like that, but that's a whole different topic, man. Jordan Love didn't look good, but, I mean, for his first game since the Eagles won, I can't blame him for looking a little sloppy. He's going to have to perform better, man. But the Vikings are continuing to stay on top of the NFC North. And, man, I don't know what can stop him. Like I said, you beat 3 good teams, and, hell, I think you're legit. But yeah, let's get into the next one. The Colts versus Steelers. Well, I think it was a sloppy game from the Steelers part of things. He had multiple turnovers. Justin Fields, George Pickens with boneheaded turnovers, man. Anthony Richardson got injured early with a hip injury. That was unfortunate to see, but he should be okay. I think week six. I think they're on the bye right now. But I think he'll be back by week six, hopefully. But Joe Flacco, the former Raven, the former Steeler killer, stepped in and he handled business, dog. He handled his job, and I think he did enough for them to win the game. Multiple clutch third downs. But like I said, for the Steelers side of things, the turnovers, it just wasn't your day, man. Defensively, it wasn't your day. Offensively, it wasn't your day. You just had bad games like that, man. And it is what it is, you know. So shout out Joe Flacco for the win. Jonathan Taylor also had himself a good game. I think he clutched up for me in fantasy. Yeah. Anthony Richardson is hoped to be back, but that's very good to see for the Colts that your team can step up behind a backup quarterback and win games versus a team like the Steelers. As for the Steelers, you're going to drop one eventually. You lost to a good team, I think, in the Colts. Offensively, you're going to have to stop the turnovers, and defensively, it was just your off day. Giving up 27 points to that Colts team, it was just your off day. Except we had a battle of two former number one overall picks, Caleb Williams for the Bears and Matthew Stafford for the Rams, man. Of course, Matthew Stafford, the former Lion, of course, had many foes and matchups versus the Bears, but I don't think he's ever played against a quarterback as good as Caleb Williams. Shout out Jay Cutler, though, man. Matthew Stafford and co. without Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua put up a good game. Tutu Atwell and DeMarcus Robinson are clear as top two targets without those two. And, you know, they're putting up, I think, decent numbers. He only scored 18 points on the day, man, but it is what it is, man. For Caleb Williams' side of things and for the Bears' offense, Caleb Williams went without his first turnover-worthy play for the first time in his NFL young career. Overall, he played a good game, man. Roman Dunze is showing up big time, man. I love that to see his growth already. Because with his growth, do you move on from Keenan Allen? There's going to be a lot of teams that might want a receiver. Chiefs. So, would you move on from Keenan Allen if Roman Dunze is stepping up and you still got DJ Moore? Speaking of DJ Moore, there's been videos of him sitting on the other side of the bench, you know, getting upset, maybe it is, with his lack of targets, touchdowns, or whatever it is. But he did get in the end zone on Sunday. But I don't know, man. Hopefully the vibe is getting Chicago. You traded a lot for DJ Moore, and it would be a shame that he would want out over some petty shit. But him and Caleb Williams, I think, will lock in eventually. Roman Dunze has been looking good. Cole Kmet, he's been solid. Bears defensively, they handled their business versus injured Ramsey. But yeah, they're 2-2 now. I think they were 0-4 by this time last year, man. And impressive win over the Rams. As for the Rams, I mean, you're just not a healthy team. You got caught with a terrible injury bug, and you're just going to have to take losses to teams like this, man. And yeah, it was unfortunate. But for the next game, we had Andy Dalton taking on his old team, the Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals beat the Carolina Panthers 34-24. Andy Dalton threw for 220 yards, two touchdowns, and he also did throw an interception. He, of course, didn't replicate that amazing performance he had versus the Raiders, you know, but unfortunately, he did give up a good performance. It gave the Panthers a chance to win this game. Granted, did they? No. Did they lose by double digits? Yes. But, I mean, he did put himself in a position to win the game, but they just didn't. Joe Burrow did look fire, man. I think Ja'Marr Chase played an elite game. Dude, he had one of those better plays I've seen this season. Nobody could tackle him. And he just took it to the end zone. T. Higgins, looking back to getting form, man. Chase Brown, rushing attack. They had running 80 rushing yards, man, and two scores. I mean, hell, that game was important for the Bengals. If you started 0-4 just like the Jags in a tough division, you would probably be out of the playoffs. Luckily, they get a win, and they look to be one of the few teams to go from 0-3 to the playoffs. For the Panthers side of things, you just lost to a better team. Andy Dalton gave another good performance. That's all you can ask for. Your team didn't get blown out. That's all you can ask for. So, not a bad performance, man, for the Panthers. But, yeah, they lose by 10. And I think in the first mid-afternoon game of the day, we got Commanders beating the Cardinals 42-14. I think I switched my prediction late, and I said the Commanders would win this game. And my God, did they. Jaden Daniels is looking like Rookie of the Year right now. It's looking like he is running away with the award, man. He completed 26 passes of 30 attempts for 234 yards and a touchdown. He also did throw an interception. But, I mean, dude, if you're putting up wins and impressive wins and getting good stat lines, why wouldn't Rookie of the Year be yours, especially if you took the Commanders to the playoffs? And right now, they sit alone at the top of the NFC East. Will that stay? Will that sustain? I don't think so, but hell, I think they are putting themselves in a great position to make the playoffs. Terry McLaurin got in the end zone, man. I mean, Dude, they're bouncing back, and I love that Terry and Jaden Daniels are connecting because that's what you're going to need to be successful this year. You're going to need Terry to return back to that great form he once had, and Jaden Daniels to have that number one connection, dog. And I mean, good for the Commanders on the Cardinal side of things. I think losing to the Commanders wouldn't be bad, but getting blown out, getting dominated by the Commanders is a bad look, man. Cliff Kingsbury got his revenge, dude, dropping a 40 burger on your heads on the road, man. Kyler did. He only had 147 yards and threw a touchdown, but he also was sacked 4 times in that game, man. But defensively, the Cardinals need to perform better, man. But you can't complain. You lost to a good Commanders team, but you got blown out. So that's something you can't complain about. Cliff Kingsbury dropped his nuts on your forehead. And yeah, you looked to bounce back in a tough NFC West. But like I said, Commanders won this one 42 to 14. Next, you had another game I didn't watch before. Now, speaking of these afternoon games, I'm giving you probably practically zero knowledge because I couldn't sit and watch another one outside of the Chiefs and Chargers, which I'll get into in a second. But Jordan Mason was toting the rock pretty well versus the Patriots. Ramondre Stevenson on the other side couldn't get it going. And I could tell by that my fantasy points. I think he only gave me 3 to 5 points, which is embarrassing. But Fred Warner, one of the, I think, the best linebacker in the league, had a pick six on the day, man. Made Jordan Mason had 160 total yards. And, you know, they cruised by the Patriots. I mean, Brock Purdy did well. Still missing Deebo. George Kittle was back. George Kittle, I think, had a highlight catch. I think he had a poster touchdown catch. It was beautiful to see, man. But yeah, 49ers flat out dominated the Patriots, which they needed to. You can't lose a team like the Patriots, or it shouldn't be close. I think we are getting a game closer to Jacoby Brissett getting benched and throwing Drake May out there because, I mean, hell, 13 points. He's not offering nothing that's worth keeping Drake May on the sideline. Like, until you feel ready, yeah, wait it out. But there's really no reason to not have him out there if you are ready. But like I said, Niners won this 30 to 13. Next, we got the Raiders versus the Browns. Two doo-doo ass teams. I don't even really want to talk about this game, man. The Raiders were without Davante Adams and Max Crosby. When I first got here, I was like, the Browns are going to beat them. And then I said, the Raiders. And then I realized Raiders had injuries, so I said, the Browns would beat them. So I flipped my prediction 3 times, and the Browns still lost. I mean, you lose to a Raiders team without their two best players there. Two clear best players. You lost to Gardner Minshew, man. Amari Cooper, who had a bad drop, you know, but as in total, I don't think he wants to be a Cleveland man. I mean, once the reports came out that they were trying to package him in some picks to get Brandon Ayuk, clearly the team doesn't want you. Clearly your quarterback's a pervert, and, you know, the vibes are bad for Amari Cooper down in Cleveland, and he could be an option for Kansas City, which I'll talk about that in a second, man, but yeah, it was just bad vibes overall for the Browns. He loses his game. For the Raiders, a big win, team win without Davante Adams, who, of course, just asked out of Las Vegas on Monday, which for the foreseeable future, you're probably going to be without Davante Adams for the rest of the season. I think he'll be there for week 5, 6, 7, but once that trade deadline hits, you're going to be without him in that second half of the season. Max Crosby, you hope to be in every game, but a big win, man. Gardner Minshew and Cole just getting out with dub off without their two best players is clutch, man. But for Cleveland, that was just a bad, just bad performance, man. 16 points versus that squad. It's looking rough for Cleveland, man. I think they're going to have to start selling some things off. I think Deshaun Watson is not the QB of the future, like I said before, and they're continuing to go slide, which will benefit for the mod teams because, hell, man, they're wasting Myles Garrett, dog, and I really don't appreciate that. I feel like, you know, if the price is right, they should ship him. Hit that full rebuild mode. What do you got to lose? Granted, you have a lot to lose. I think your fan base can't bear to see another rebuild, but who knows? That's just my opinion. I like Myles Garrett, so I don't want to see him on the Cleveland Browns anymore because they're wasting him. So I would love them for them to trade him. But from a Browns standpoint, you should never trade one of your great franchise greatest players ever. But let's move on to the next game, man. The Chiefs versus the Chargers. I might just need to turn my phone off for this. I don't need to look at any stats or this and that, man. In what was probably the worst two drives I've seen from the Kansas City offense ever, Carson Steele fumbles on the first one, which I've seen before. A fumble's a fumble. But what came next was Patrick Mahomes throwing the worst interception of his career because of the consequences of the interception. He throws it. Yeah, Mahomes trying to hustle to stop the defender. You got the old lineman, and most importantly, you got Rashee Rice. And what did Rashee do? He stripped the ball. Let's go. But what did his quarterback do? His quarterback came to hit down the hill like Ray Lewis, hit the living shit out of Rashee Rice's knee, and man, it didn't look pretty. But as we sit here on Wednesday, the updates is we're waiting on the swelling, and we'll get more tests on next Monday when they play the Saints, bro. But on the bright side of it, if it was a no doubt torn ACL, which was predicted, you would think they would already announce that, yeah, his season's done. But I got my fingers crossed. I hope he can return late November to early December and we get our boy back. But if he doesn't, you need to full-on go out there and attack and go get a receiver. If he does return, I would say wait it out. Of course, right now, you're not going to be able to trade for a nobody, so you got to wait till the deadline. So these are going to be the next important weeks, few weeks, because, hell, you're going to have to see if you really are like that without Rashee Rice, man. Pacheco's going to come back eventually, but, hell, you're going to have to see if you can sustain with the pass catchers. If not, by the trade deadline, regardless if Rashee's going to come back late December or whatever, or he's not going to come back at all, you got to get a good receiver. That could be Deontay Johnson from Carolina, Amari Cooper in Cleveland, Cooper Kupp in L.A. if he's available, damn it. Those are my top three options. Also, Keenan Allen in Chicago if Roman Dunsé is continue to take off. There's a lot of options out there, man. But, God, it's unfortunate, dude. You got to hope that he is healthy, man. A lot of corny jokes, man. The guy shouldn't be in prison, all right? All I'm going to say is, hey, I ain't going to blame him that much, man. We all drive on the highway before, but let's not talk about that, all right? The great part of the game, though, was that Patrick Mahomes, for the first time in, my God, how many years? He threw a 50-yard-plus touchdown, man. What hurts, though, is you could tell on the first two plays of the game, offensively for the Chiefs, he was ready to load up, but the O-line just got pushed back so hard, man. Joe Thuney, I love you, brother, but he ruined two plays on the opening drive, man. Just getting dominated off the line of scrimmage, but that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, in the second quarter, he found Xavier Worthy for 54 yards and a touchdown. Gave us some momentum, man, and Samaje Perine got in the end zone. Kareem Hunt looked like his old self. I did love his performance, man. He is probably going to be running back one after Carson Steele fumble. The way it's looking at, Carson Steele's probably going to be running back four when Pacheco returns, but now he's running back three. He should get some snaps here and there. But I think going forward, it's going to be Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, and Carson Steele. But he didn't do bad, man. Travis Kelce, I think, did look like his old self, though, man. But it wasn't perfect, but he did look good, in my opinion. He had 7 catches for 89 yards, while Ladd McConkey, on the other side, he looked good, the former Bulldog. But Justin Herbert, you know, their offensive game plan wasn't bad. It was quick passes, get it out, don't let him get hit. But unfortunately, he got hit. Chris Jones took the game over. The defense locked up. They scored 10 points early in the first quarter, didn't score again. They could have scored later, but Jim Harbaugh, had to catch myself, had a boneheaded decision for going on 4th-and-1, and they didn't get it. But the defense locked up, led by a defensive player of the year candidate right now, and probably the favorite, in my opinion, Chris Jones. He's been taking over games like no other in the league, man, and he's been locked in. He won AFC Defensive Player of the Week this week, and man, great performance from the defense. Should have had an interception here, there, and two, but offensively, Patrick Mahomes needs to be way more. I want a no turnover game versus the Saints. That's all I ask. Hopefully, you got to figure out what the problem at wide receiver. Defensively, just keep doing your thing. It's not going to get easier, but because you play the team with their missing without their two starting tackles and a banged up Justin Herbert, so it's not going to get easy, man. But yeah, Chiefs won this one 17-10. Let's move on to the Sunday night football game. Derrick Henry, brother. Hey, he looked like that 2021 Derrick Henry, man. That dominant Derrick Henry, dog. He broke off for a huge game-turning 87-yard touchdown, man. And that put up a 198-yard rushing performance, man. I think he had 200 total yards. Maybe he caught a cap ass or two, man. But he cooked up, man, for the Lamar Jackson. He didn't have to do much that night. And that's a beautiful thing for the Ravens fans is Lamar Jackson doesn't have to be your hero every now and then. He doesn't. You got Derrick Henry, dog. He doesn't have to be Mr. Fantastic every game. When you got Derrick Henry, he can tote that rock on a great night like this one. You don't got to worry about Lamar Jackson having to be that MVP self. Hell, if you can sustain this level, which you won't. Derrick Henry, I mean, for the first 3 weeks, didn't go off like this. But, I mean, you're not going to sustain this, man. But if you can get games like this every other week where Derrick Henry takes over and Lamar doesn't have to do much, then it's going to be a cruise for you for the rest of the season. You could win a lot of games, man. Defensively, I think they handled the Bills' offense, like, spectacularly. I mean, only giving up 10 points to Josh Allen. Of course, Josh Allen had a beautiful 52-yard pass to Khalil Shakir, man. But, he did get popped. He fumbled, man. Offensively, for the Bills, I thought it was disgusting. You're really not injured. You just really couldn't connect on nothing, man. As for the team like the Cowboys and Raiders, who could drop points on the Ravens as a playoff team, as an AFC championship contender, it was, I think, pretty bad, you know. Defensively, I know you got injuries on that side, so I get giving up 200 yards on the ground to Derrick Henry, but offensively, I think you were pretty healthy for the most part, and that performance was pretty embarrassing, man, but For the Ravens, they capitalized with a 25-point win, man, which is huge. I had them winning originally, and I just believe they were the better team, and they proved to be the better team, Brandon. But the teams could match up and see each other again in the playoffs, but both being more healthy, especially on the Bills side of things. But yeah, Ravens win this one 35-10. Now let's get into some Monday Night Football. I think we had two. I thought these two games were mid, to be honest with you. Titans and Dolphins. Let's not even talk about that one, brother. The two quarterbacks for mainly most of the game was Tyler Huntley and Mason Rudolph. Will Levis got injured early, and yeah, that was just a bad game. Tony Pollard did his thing. Tyreek Hill continued to drop a few passes, and now we got to ask ourselves, is how long does Tyreek have left in Miami? How long can he bear with this? Is he okay with just retiring with one ring and never getting a playoff win again, but having a lot of money and living in Florida? Or is he going to want to win again? And who knows? If he's available, should the Chiefs holler back? I don't know. I don't know, man. I just want a three-peat, brother. So I'm willing to listen to any possibility out there. And I'm willing to throw any pick as well. I just want a three-peat. But that's neither here nor there, man. For the Titans, their rushing attack led by Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears was allowed them to get this win. Of course, you don't think Mason Rudolph wasn't throwing the ball to win you this game. So you won it, man, for the Dolphins side of things. Tyler Huntley, Skylar Thompson, whoever it is, man, I just don't think they're going to get done. And I think we're sitting here in late December and the Dolphins are going to be eliminated. They're going to have some real questions in the offseason for quarterback and what to do for the future, because you got a lot of guys on good contracts. You got a lot of egos. Not really ego. I think he's got one big one in Tyreek Hill and a couple small ones here and there. But yeah, for the Titans, it's a big win, first of the season. And for the Dolphins, they continue to slide. The Titans won this one 31-12, of course. And the other latter game, the other game on Monday night, you had the Lions beating the Seahawks 42-29. Seahawks, of course, were undefeated with the Chiefs, Vikings, and Steelers. But them and the Steelers drop a game, leaving only the Chiefs and Vikings. And Jared Goff went a perfect 18 of 18, dog. I love to see that 100% completion percentage on the night, dude. He cooked up. I mean, Geno Smith and Jared Goff both had great performances, in my opinion, man. But it is what it is. You lose to a good team like the Lions, man, at home. You're on Calvin Johnson's, I think he was honored into the Lions Hall of Fame, man. You just weren't going to beat this Lions team after that, man. DK Metcalf did have a big fumble that did allow the Lions to go by two scores, which kind of shot them in the foot early, and they couldn't bounce back from that either. But yeah, Kenneth Walker surprisingly balled at 23. He had himself a great game. But for Geno and Goff, you know, two quarterbacks, you know, I'd say top, bottom. If they are top 10, they're 9-10. But they're in that 10-15 range of quarterbacks in the league, man. And they both did shine that night. But overall, the Lions won this one 42-29. And that's it for this week, dog. It was a really good week, in my opinion. I really enjoyed this week of football, especially the early slate. The Thursday night football game wasn't that bad. And Monday night football provided a little heat, excluding the Titans and Dolphins. I hope nobody in America tuned into that. But yeah, man, Lions and Seahawks was good. And hopefully week 5 in the NFL is going to be jam-packed as well. Let's get into some college football. So when you think about college football this last Saturday, there's clearly one game that comes to mind. It was the Bulldogs versus the Crimson Tide. Alabama versus Georgia in a top 5 matchup. And boy, did it live up to the hype. Did it live up to the hype, man. At first, it didn't. Alabama came out on fire. It started off 28-0, man. I thought it was over. 28-0, and I'm like, how do you even come back from that? But damn it, them boys did. I mean, the Bulldogs came back, and they just started clicking. Everything was clicking for the Bulldogs. They were getting stops. They were going down and scoring. And then late in the game, Bulldogs go up a touchdown, and you're like, okay, Carson Beck delivers a dime. And you're like, okay, I think Georgia's got this. And boom, what she got in, I think, was play of the week through all of football. Yeah, Jalen Milroe hit up 17-year-old Ryan Williams, the nephew of Serena Williams. I mean, my God, was that a football game. It was electric from the start. The environment was electric, and I'm glad the Bulldogs came back, because nobody really wants to see a blowout in the top 5 matchup. I'm okay to see a blowout in the first half, but I need the other team to lock in, clutch up, and we make this self a game. Carson Beck, overall, you find the tweets, you look at it, man, and it was scary, man. It was bad. You know, Carson Beck did click at some points of the game, man. He had a 6-play, 80-yard drive that ended up with the 8-yard touchdown pass, but they didn't get the 2-point conversion, man. They went down 12, then boom, connected for another touchdown, and eventually they go on to take the lead, but you just couldn't stop Jalen Milroe that night, man. He he was just electric, and you know that it was a great game. I enjoyed it. You know, damn, I thought the game was over, so I put the phone down, and I feel like I see tweets about, oh my gosh, Alabama about choke this and that. So I put it back on YouTube TV, and damn, man, I was just trying to watch a scary movie that night. Finished my night off good, but boom, I had to put up YouTube TV on my phone, let the movie roll on, and had to lock in on that, man. But shout out Ryan Williams, shout out the Crimson Tide. They are currently number one in the country, replaced Texas, and yeah, SEC is legit this year, man. I'm kind of scared for my Tigers when they gotta. And the boys got to go down to Tuscaloosa, man. But the other news, Arizona knocked off number 10 Utah in a Big 12 matchup. There, big win for Tet McMillan. Noah Fiedler. I mean, it was a good win for them damn Wildcats. And, yeah, brother, Arizona bounced back in a huge way. They beat Utah. You know, I think they are looking to get ranked eventually again soon. And, yeah, that was huge. Ohio State handled Michigan State 38-7. Number nine, Penn State. Grinded out a win, you know, they were 19.5 favorites over Illinois. I thought that was ridiculous. They only beat Illinois by 14. Kansas State went on to go handle number 20, Oklahoma State by double digits. And the shocker that they just stunned everybody, especially those in Mississippi. Kentucky stud number 6, Ole Miss. I said on Friday, I'm like, they have the chance, you know, they called Georgia off guard 1 week. They have the chance to do it again versus Ole Miss. But I'm like, you know what, I don't think they can really pull off the win. Give me Ole Miss. I was wrong. I was so happy because that allowed that loss, that Utah loss, and of course that, oh my gosh, that Utah and Ole Miss loss allowed Mizzou to slide right back into the top 10 at number 9. You know, Virginia Tech got the right call versus Miami on Friday night. Them boys would have allowed us to be number 8, but that doesn't matter. At least the Tigers are back in the top 10, and they will go on to face A&M at College Station on Kyle Field, man, and whew, it's going to be a tough one, but I'll talk about that on Friday, man. Minnesota, you know, nearly beat out Michigan. Shout out Tim Walz. And, of course, Oregon played UCLA that night and went on to win. But I think the hype man of the week deserves all the praises. Ashton Jeanty, man. He tore it up. I think he's my Heisman winner right now, dude. I mean, he's that good. He's just bringing, like, all the glory back to running back. I just don't see, like, how he isn't your Heisman. He leads the nation in running rushing yards. And, I mean, that guy's just that. He's just that. He leads the nation in rushing yards by nearly 200 yards. I mean, he's just such a talented guy, man. And I'm oozing, I'm foaming by the mouth by this running back because I love seeing great running back playing. He's presenting that for Boise State, but it was another good week of college football for sure, man. And if when we think about slates on Saturday and this and that next week, you know, this Saturday, it's looking a little ugly for sure. But we'll talk about that on Friday, man. But yeah, that was college football for this week, man. Of course, Colorado took down UCF. Yeah, it was just a good week overall. Not bad. Nothing you could complain about, though, for sure, man. But yeah, now let's talk about some NBA. Before we fully dive into NBA news, of course, you know, I want to send my thoughts and prayers out to Dikembe Mutombo and his family, dude. RP to one of the greatest block shockers the game has ever seen. One of the greatest personalities, man. You know, he put on an amazing rep for Africa and just represented them so well, man. And he'll forever have a lasting impact on the continent of Africa, especially with the NBA and basketball, man. And, you know, of course, RIP to Mutombo and just sending my prayers and thoughts to his family as they look to bounce back, man. But another NBA news, a big Friday bomb drop, man. Shams dropped his biggest bomb as the top NBA reporter now that Woj just retired. I always thought he was the top. But in other words, man, he announced that Karl Anthony Towns would be heading to New York for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo, plus some picks. And I saw Bleacher Report post something on their app about Karl Anthony Towns in New York, and I'm just thinking it's a rumor. So I played it off, but I go to look on Twitter, and boom, there it is. But my phone dies. So I'm out and about, and I'm like, dude, Karl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle just got traded for each other, and the Royals just made the playoffs. And I'm just going crazy, but forget the Royals playoffs. I'll talk about the Royals in a second. Excuse me. I always go off track. But yeah, man. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, Kieta Bates, Diop from the Knicks, as well with a top 13 projected first round pick that originally brought with the Pistons, will be heading to Minnesota. As for the Knicks, they will get Karl Anthony Towns and the draft rights to James Nnaji from the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets were the third team in this trade, man. But for Cat, dude, I didn't expect this. Like, this was a bomb shock to everybody. I seen a video of Julius Randle doing great work in New York, doing great work in the streets for these kids in, you know, the city of New York a few days before the trade. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns has been in Minnesota forever. He comes out after the tweet just tweeting dots. This trade was unexpected. It was silent. Usually, big trades like this, you might get some rumors, some whispers. You didn't hear nothing. It just got boom, just dropped. And it caught me off guard, man. It's gonna be hard to imagine Carl Anthony Towns in the New York jersey. Like, I don't think he's present at media day, you know, because just brand new trade, man. But I'm like, dog, I can't imagine this. That's one of the guys I just imagined to just forever stay with his franchise, man. Anthony Edwards will have a new partner in crime. You got Julius Randle. When I think Carl Anthony Towns is a better player than Julius Randle, but I don't think the drop off in production will drop for Minnesota. You got a great bench piece from Dante DiVincenzo. But speaking of DiVincenzo, there was a report that he was upset about his lack of usage and his role in New York, and that he kind of wanted to go. And that probably made this trade a whole lot easier, packaging up him instead of somebody like Miles McBride or, you know, anybody else, man. But that's kind of crazy because he's probably going to be on the bench again. But he'll maybe get a higher role. Maybe see him in some starting rotation, some starting lineups eventually down the line. But for both teams, product-wise and win-wise, I don't think either team will suffer a drop-off. They'll stay around the same or even win more games. If I had to give a winner for this trade, I would go with Minnesota. I'm going to give him a fair trade, man. For New York, Mitchell Robinson being injured, him not being back till December or January, dog, you're going to need a center. And right there, he's in front of your face. Carl Anthony Towns, he's your center, man. He's that guy, you know. I always love seeing New York in big trades because, I mean, I love the Knicks. I've always been fond of them, and I like when they're good, man. After the Timberwolves, he replaced Cat with two positive players, Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. I just love it for both teams, man. It's going to be interesting to see. But in other news about Media Day, man, you had, I think Victor Wembanyama posted up with Chris Paul. I think Victor gained 25 pounds, he said, man. Of course, the rookie of the year last year, looking to be defensive player this year, maybe be an MVP candidate, for sure get the Spurs to the playoffs, which I don't think happens. But it's going to be interesting to see, man, how his game changes. On paper, he doesn't look different. But, of course, for him, he probably feels different. He probably moves a little better in his mind. He's going to be a little stronger. It's going to be interesting to see because a lot of centers are going to attack Wimmy straight to his chest. They're going to see if he can stop their post-up. Of course, he can put the arms over and block the shot, man. But that's not going to work all the time. He's going to have to get low, get in a good stance, and prevent guys posting him up, man. Because that's going to be the attack of him, man. But that was big news. In other news, it was all smiles in Detroit. That's something that really caught my eye off, man. The vibes in Detroit are really high. Jaden Ivey, Tobias Harris, Cade, Ron Holland, Ansar Thompson. The vibes are high, man. These guys are happy. Tobias Harris is looking like a great vet to those guys already, man. And in a city of Detroit that's seen the Tigers recently just make the playoffs and win game one versus the Astros and the Lions make it all the way to the NFC Championship, the Pistons are far behind. And they know they can't keep doing their fans like this, man. And multiple years after a rebuild, after your last playoff game coming via what? Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond days? They know that they need to get back to their winning ways. And you got a roster. I think they got a good roster to do it. It's going to be interesting to see, man. But that caught my eyes in news. In other news, man, James Harden came out for the Clippers and says the style will involve a lot of him this year. Could James Harden? He looks a little skinnier, a little leaner, man. My favorite player of all time, of course. He's looking like we can get maybe MVP James Harden back. He stated that he's going to be a lot more aggressive this year, man, with Kawhi and Leonard, of course, stepping back a little and Paul George not being there long longer. This can really be James Harden's team, man. You know, he's going to be the top offensive guy for them, and it's going to be great to see, dude. I can't wait for Clippers games. It's going to be a joy to watch, man. It's going to involve a lot of him, and if it does, this very well could tank this Clippers season or this could make him even better, man. I can't wait for that, man. Another thing that caught my eye on media today is how Damian Lillard and Giannis didn't get working all summer. Giannis came out to say, you know, that they, of course, kept in contact all summer, this and that, but they never were in the gym together, which kind of catches my eyes, man. I watched Dame Lillard get ready for some flicks, do a little cross-ups, and you don't see, man, his eyes, brother. You can just tell by his eyes, you know, this might not be the place he wants to be. Maybe he was always Miami originally, but who knows, man. But speaking of Miami, for the first time in the last 3 years, Jimmy Butler showed up to media day normal. Of course, remember the no beard dreads? Like, that was ridiculous. Then he took it up to another notch coming as an emo guy. This year, he finally comes headband, braids in, beard, 100% normal, which I'm glad he does, man. Maybe his joy for the season, for the Heat, is gone. Maybe he knows his team isn't good as previous years, and maybe he's just done with the jokes. On the other side of things, speaking of hair, Tyler Hero, of course, went bald. Got a military cut, and it's going to be interesting to look for him. But, yeah, man, I think those are all the biggest important stories of media day. Of course, my Rockets flicked up. Reed Shepard got a little porn stash. It's going to be great to watch him. Not a lot of news recently, but like I said, we are in October. It's October 2nd. There's NBA back this week. Preseason starts, I think, this Friday. This weekend, I think Nuggets and Celtics go to Dubai, have a game, preseason game. But next Monday, I think that's all the real preseason action we'll get to see, man. But can't wait. I love NBA. Can't wait to start talking about that. And as we get closer, I'm going to start coming out with predictions, award predictions, win totals, standings, playoffs predictions, all this and that, man. Talk about each team. I can't wait for that. But yeah, man, that's NBA. And now let's get into some MLB. Last time we talked about MLB, it was on Friday. We were talking about scenarios, teams that could get in and out. And by the end of it, by here, we clearly know, of course. Braves and Mets split the doubleheader. They had to play on Monday because the Braves did lose to the Royals on Sunday. And the Mets didn't handle business completely versus the Brewers. So they had to have the doubleheader. That first game, that first doubleheader was pure baseball. It was a beauty to watch. I enjoyed every second of it, man. Of course, Atlanta, boom, they get on the board. It's looking like for most of the game that these guys are going to walk away with it. They're up 3-0 heading into the top of the eighth, and boom, a snap of the fingers. The Mets drop six on their head, and it's looking like the Mets are going to walk away with this easy. They're up three runs, man. It's like, damn, is it already over? Boom, bottom of the eighth. They drop four runs, and they go back up by a run, and it's just chaos all over the game then. It's all over, man. Francisco Lindor just hits a two-run home run in the top of the ninth. And that was just the most MVP-type thing I've ever seen. I know Shohei Ohtani's going to walk away with it. But when I think about MVP, it's stepping up and taking your team where they need to be, where you want them to be. And that's what Francisco Lindor did. And, of course, later in the day, in the second half of the doubleheader, the Braves beat the Mets 3-0. And the Diamondbacks just had a wash and sorrow. And it was the most predictable thing ever. The Mets were going to rest their guys as they had a playoff game guaranteed already for tomorrow. And as for the Braves side of things, you just couldn't lose that game. You just really couldn't lose that game at home, man. The Mets were going to go try hard. They were just going to rest their guys and relax. And, of course, that's what happened, dog. But as we sit here on Wednesday, October 2nd, we get to talk about Tuesday's games. And first, we're going to dive into the Royals and Orioles. When you think about pitching duels, this is a game people can show you, man. If you're trying to introduce somebody to baseball and be like, hey, this is good pitching right here, let me show you. You're going to show this game. Cole Reagans, Corbin Burns, two aces, two of the best in the league, man. Two of the best of the AL were dealing all night. For Reagans, he went six innings, eight strikeouts, four hits, no walks, no runs. He was dialed in, but cramps brought him out the game, and, you know, he went out, man. But for the rest of the Royals bullpen, Sam Long came in. Handled business. Seventh inning. Boom. Handled business in the sixth and seventh. Boom. You had Chris Bubich come in. He got two outs, but he got two runners on. Who did that? You brought in Lucas Ursig. He closes out for the four final outs, man. And it was a beauty to watch. But on offensively, woof, Bobby Witt Jr., who I think is the best player in MLB right now. I don't see nothing otherwise to tell me, dude. He's clutch. He shows up. You would think you'd walk him and let Vinny Pascutino get up to hit. The guy hasn't played a game in a month. You would think you'd let him go up and hit, but no. Corbin Burns pitches to Bobby Wood Jr. And as Maikel Garcia got on base with a walk, stole a base, got moved to third because of an out. He's sitting on third, two outs. Bobby Wood hits near third base, in between third baseman and shortstop. They both try to dive and get it, but they can't. Royals up 1-0, and for the next four innings, the bullpen locks in and locks them up. For the Orioles side of things, offensively, it was just a dud performance. With a better lineup than the Royals, they didn't show up all night. Cole Reagans had guys whiffing. He had two guys swing at a pitch and lose their bat. He was just dealing all night, man, and it was a beauty to see for sure. Hopefully, Seth Lugo follows it up, man. I think, once again, the Royals have a bet. Yesterday, I think it was even. I think pitching was even. I thought these two guys were at near the same level, but today, I think Seth Lugo has a gap over Zach Eflin, and you got to give me the Royals again tonight. I think they can do it. But for the Royals, you got to hopefully score more runs. Of course, my over-assuming ass already bought tickets for Game 3 of the ALDS if they were to go on and play the Yankees. Game 3. Could we be down 2-0 and I could watch us get swept? Yes. But that doesn't matter. I just want to go to a playoff game. So, already bought my tickets and I just can hope by, 6 o'clock? The Kansas City Royals are heading to ALDS, and Seth Lugo pitched a gem again, and the offense turned up and hopefully scored the 3-4 runs or more. In other news in the AL, you had the Tigers beating the Astros 3-1. Framber Valdez just got shelled in the top of the second. It's not his fault. you know, the for the Tigers, they just kept the line moving, man. Hit after hit, and boom, by the top of the second, at the end of it, they were up 3-0, man. For the Astros side of things, you went against, I think, currently the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, Tarik Skubal, man. He just dominated you. I mean, you just got to deal with guys like that, man. He had 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, walked the guy, and gave up 4 hits, man. He was dealing all night, just like Cole Reagans, his division foe. But you lose games like that, man. But at the end of the game, you had a chance to win it. Bases loaded, 2 outs. Ball gets hit, boom, straight to the first baseman, man. If that ball lands, you're sending both guys there, and you probably tie the game up, and we're going to extras. But that doesn't go this way, man. Houston, of course, Major League Baseball's recent dynasty is one loss away from being out of majority of October. Every year you see the Astros deep in October, but for the first time in I don't know how many years, there's a good chance that we don't see the Astros playing deep October baseball, man. And it's going to be crazy to see, but Tigers are just one win away. On the NL side of things, man, you had 2 offenses going back and forth, man. The Mets winning this one 8-4. Milwaukee, bottom of the first, comes out, scores 2 quickly. Did Mets easily respond, gets 3 in the top of the second, man. Doesn't a couple innings later, boom, Brewers get another 2, and they're back up 4-3. And then this is where it all went out of the window. The Mets dropped 5 in the top half of the 5th inning, and the Mets go on to win this one 8-4. Freddie Peralta just got shelled that game, man. It is what it is. He had 5 strikeouts, 4 innings pitched, and 2 hits. But 2 of those hits, he got 3 earned runs with it. But unfortunately, I think the big loser of the day is Joel Piamps, former Royal. Forgive me if I pronounced that name wrong, but he couldn't get 3 outs, man. He finished with 0.2 innings, of course, gave up 2 hits, 3 earned runs, and gave up a walk. Bad game. He takes the L for it. But for the Mets, offensively, they shined. And after that elite doubleheader, they are 1 win away today, Wednesday, from going on to the NLDS. On the Padres and Braves side of things, in the other NL wildcard, the Padres just came out and dominated. Michael King was electric all night. San Diego, Fernando Tatis hit a 2-run homer in the bottom of the first inning, giving everything San Diego needed to win that game. Of course, another run in the bottom of the second, and 1 late in the bottom of the 8th. And overall, just Michael King just dominated. I mean, he just dominated the shit out of you, Atlanta. And you're going to have to deal with that, unfortunately, man. It is what it is. You know, he went 7 innings, had 12 strikeouts, only gave you 5 hits. I mean, spectacular performances. All day, Corbin Burns, Michael King, Cole Reagans, Tarik Skubal, just lights out performances all day. And who knows if it lives up again on today, Wednesday, man. It could be an offensive day today. Who knows, man. But for the Braves side of things, you just got dominated, man. You lose to a good pitcher. He just 12 strikeouts, 7 innings. I mean, what are you going to do about that, man? You know, for the Braves, no Ronald Acuna. I don't think Austin Riley's back yet, man. You just lost to a better team. You know, you're just happy to be here, all right? That's it. You're just happy to be here that you made the wild card without missing 2 of your best players. But for the Padres side of things, you know, they're my favorite. I have them going to win it all. I got them beating the Guardians in 7 in the World Series. And, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to watch for the rest of the playoffs. But while we're at it, let me give you guys my playoff predictions. All right, man, this is what I got. In the wild card series, I got the Tigers beating the Astros in 3 games, Royals beating the Orioles in 2, the Mets beating the Brewers in 3, and the Padres beating the Braves in 2. Hey, I know. This was made before any wild card game, so don't give me shit, man, all right? I had the ALDS and NLDS. I had the Guardians beating the Tigers in 5, the Royals beating the Yankees in 5, cash that. Phillies beating the Mets in 4, and Padres beating the Dodgers in 5. In the championship series, I had the Guardians beating the Royals in 5, the Padres beating the Phillies in 7, and in the World Series, I had the Padres beating the Guardians in 6. Yes, I'll repeat all that again, man. Tigers beating the Astros in the wild card series in 3 games, Royals beating the Orioles in 2 games, Mets beating the Brewers, in 3 games, and the Padres sweeping the Braves in 2 games. In the division series, I got the Tigers losing to the Guardians in 5, Royals beating the Yankees in 5, Phillies beating the Mets in 4, Padres beating the Dodgers in 5. In the championship series, I got the Guardians beating the Royals in 5, Padres beating the Phillies in 7, and of course, last World Series, Padres beating the Guardians in 6. Cash that, follow it. If you gamble on baseball, I don't. Cash everything I just said. You know, just trust me. I know my baseball, especially in October, man, but by the next time I talk to you on Friday, the division series will be set up, and I'll preview that on Friday, man. But for MLB talk, that was good. I love it, man. I love postseason baseball. It's so electric. I'm so glad the Royals are back because I can actually give my 110% in all of the game and give all the emotions a fan can give for a baseball game, man. And I can't wait for this next game. Hopefully Seth Lugo delivers. But yeah, man, we'll wrap up the wild card on Friday and see who wins and see who's out, man. Now let's get into some Thursday night football. All right, now let's dive into Thursday night football to wrap it up, guys. Tomorrow night, you got another NFC South matchup between two playoff hopeful teams, two teams that hope to win the NFC South title. But you got Buccaneers traveling to Atlanta, man. Buccaneers, of course, are 3-1 on a season led by Baker Mayfield and his electric offense, while the Falcons are 2-2. Falcons' two losses come to a Steelers team that, you know, just played better than them. Offense was a click in week one, and, of course, to the Chiefs. Week three, Sunday Night Football. But for the Bucs, man, you lost one to Denver Broncos in an embarrassing way. But next week, they came out electric versus Philly. I mean, that's like I said, they needed to come out electric out the gate, unlike they did versus the Broncos, and that's exactly what they did. For the Bucs, they have huge wins over, like I said, Philly, Detroit, and, of course, and the Commanders, man. And they've won in blowout fashion versus the Commanders and Buccaneers. Of course, they got dogged out by the Broncos. That was a rarity. But now they get the Falcons, man. This is going to be a big game. Of course, that down the line, we're going to look back when we talk about the NFC South and who wins the division. We're going to look back at this game, man. I expect it to be close. I expect both offenses to show out. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. Yes, I just said Kyle Pitts. Keep trusting. Keep hoping, Atlanta fans. Keep trust Josh King. Trust the process, brother. You know, Kyle Pitts is going to show up this game. Whatever is over on his yards is, I think cash that, man. He's going to get it. He's going to show up this game. If he doesn't, it's typical Kyle Pitts. Don't blame me. Blame the player. But on the Bucs side of things, man, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Baker Mayfield, Bucky Irvin, who surprised me this year, Rashad White. Man, this is going to be a really good game, actually. This is one game I'm going to go on my way to tune in for because I believe in both teams, and I like both teams, and I like to watch both teams. I'm a big Baker guy. I feel like he got just disrespected for no reason. It had him being a backup in L.A. and Carolina. Those are just two images I don't want to even keep in my head, man. Elite player, top 15 quarterback. I can't wait to watch this. Kirk Cousins, you know, shout out Kirk Cousins, man. I really do jack with Kirk Cousins. Top 15 quarterback as well. Hell, you could say top 10, man. But this is going to be a good game, guys. If I had to give you a winner, at home, this is tough, brother. Give me Tampa Bay by a field goal. I think it'll be a walk-off field goal. Give me Tampa Bay 30-27. I think both offenses will show up. I don't think defense will be the question in this game. They'll get some key stops, but overall, I think this will be an offensive game, man. Yeah, give me the Bucs by a field goal, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons win at home, man. This is going to be a good game. You know, one of those good division games to get out the way early on Thursday Night Football, yeah. But yeah, man, that's my winner. I got the Bucs winning 30-27. That's my prediction. Hopefully, Bijan Robinson gets some more love, man, get some more emotion. It hasn't been pretty these first few weeks, but yeah, if the Falcons win this game or it's even very close, I think Bijan Robinson will contribute to that, man. I think they'll be able to run the ball pretty well. Hopefully somebody can block Vita Vea. If not, it's going to be rough, man. But yeah, like I said, prediction is Tampa Bay going to Atlanta, winning this one 30-27. All right, guys, I expected that episode to be a little longer, man, but 50, less than an hour, hey, I like that, dog. We talked about three big sports, college football included, and man, I felt good, man. It felt good talking about all three major sports in America. And it was fun to talk about, man. MLB playoffs here. We're about to get into that October stretch where we get the playoffs. And if you like hockey, you get NHL, NBA, NFL, college football. You get all these sports. WNBA, man, you got all these sports going on, man. It's a prime time. This is the best time of the year to be a sports fan. I love October for this reason. I love Halloween. I love the vibe. But most importantly, I love sports on being 24/7. And hell, these games matter. And of course, the NFL is a 17-week season. Every game matters for the NFL when you watch it on Sunday. Of course, not for the good teams, but I digress. NBA, you know, the beginning of that, man. I love the NBA. Why I love just throwing on League Pass and watching any game when I'm bored. You got MLB playoffs, teams trying to shock somebody. WNBA playoffs, man. College football. Every game in college football matters, man. Ain't nobody trying to go play in the Liberty Bowl, the AutoZone Bowl. Reported games, man, every week. I can't wait, dude. October's got some fire college football slates, some fire in the NFL games. NBA's back, of course. MLB playoffs. Like, I can keep saying it over and over, but this is going to be an elite month, and I can't wait to talk about it all on the podcast, man. But like always, love and respect one another. I'll catch you guys on Friday where we'll recap Thursday Night Football, the Wild Card Series. We'll talk about the weekend of football for college football and NFL. And, man, once again, if you made it all the way, I want to thank you. I think this episode was pretty clean. I loved it. And yeah, this was probably my favorite episode yet because of all I talk about, and I enjoyed it all, man. But like, as always, like, follow, share. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Love you guys. Have a great day. See you on Friday.